Hello, and welcome to the New Hope Church podcast. Whether you are a member of our church family, either in person or online, or just checking us out for the first time, we believe that you belong here at New Hope Church, and we hope that this message speaks to you today. Don't forget to check us out online at newhopechurch.tv, and we'd love to connect with you on social media at New Hope Church TV. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
All right, I want to welcome everybody at our 288 campus, Friendswood campus, Alvin campus, Webster campus, Pearland campus, online campus, and everybody up at the Webo Bible Church at Webo, Montana. Happy New Year's, everyone. Happy New Year. So glad that you're in church. First Sunday of the year. First Sunday of the year, you're in church. And I'm glad because today we begin a new series of messages that we're calling Up on the Roof. And you'll see what that's all about in just a moment. But as has been promised, and I don't know if we've talked about it, but on the third week of this series, we're going to give away some rooftop dates. You may have already heard this at your campus, but some rooftop dates at all of our campuses, every service on the third weekend. So be here for that especially. But our setting for this whole series is Up on the Roof. And we're going to talk about next week, Hiding on the Roof, which is all about finding intimacy in your marriage and living together according to knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We're going to talk about temptations up on the roof and how to overcome those temptations that destroy a lot of marriages. We're going to talk about a hole in the roof, which is all about total commitment to marriage. Today, we're going to talk about rain on the roof, which is all about building your marriage on a stormproof foundation. As you may or may not know, the foundation is the most important part of anything you're going to build, whether it's a structure or a marriage. Title of today's lesson is Rain on the Roof. I'll tell you where that comes from in just a moment. But I do know this about you if you're married today. Your marriage has been, is being, or will be tested. There is a storm. There is a storm. And maybe you're in a storm right now. And I'm glad you're here. Maybe you came today because you heard we're talking about marriage and you're in a storm in your marriage. Well, I'm glad that you're here, and I just want you to know something. It's not too late to do the things that Jesus asked us to do to weather the storm. So today, be hopeful, and let's learn from the Bible today. Now, our Up on the Roof passage of Scripture, if you want to join me there, is in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, you have a Bible, or you're going to look it up on your device. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be in verses 24 through 27, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. We're also going to be in Mark chapter 10, not to confuse you, but Mark chapter 10, but we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus uses an analogy to make the point about the importance of having the proper foundation in your life. Here's what he says, Matthew chapter 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the what? On the rock, and the rain fell. So the rain is now fallen, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because it had been what? Founded on the rock, or another translation says, had its foundation on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house. Where'd he build it? On the sand, okay? Verse 27, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, in Jesus's analogy or his illustration, there are two builders. Two homes are built. One is built on the rock, and one is built on sand. And he describes the builder who built his home on the rock as being what? Wise, okay? And then he describes the builder who built his home on the sand as being what? Wait a minute, is Jesus calling people names? Is that mean-spirited of Jesus to call people names? And maybe this guy just had a different idea. Maybe he had a different perspective. Maybe he wanted to do things a little bit differently and build his house on the sand. Actually, Jesus is not being mean here. He's not being mean-spirited. It's just like any good structural engineer, Jesus is dealing in facts. Remember those? Remember those facts? He's dealing in facts. And the facts are you can have two houses that are built identically, two identical homes, with all the same amazing upgrades. In both homes, I don't know, soaker tub, whatever that is. What's a soaker tub? Aren't all tubs soakers? You just stay in them longer. That's what that means. Quartz, right? I'm thinking of upgrades here. Quartz, countertops, quartz. Let's just go all the way. Quartz, everything. The walls are quartz. Everything's quartz. Here's one that I've heard on the HGTV channel recently. Zero threshold shower, which sounds like a very bad idea to me. You know what that is? It's like no curb on the shower whatsoever. And for me personally, back when I was had hair, that wasn't a joke. Well, back when I had hair and was losing it, if I didn't do this every now and then, anybody been there, done that? Like your hair is on the drain and the water's starting to fill up in the shower. Back in the day, I'm just saying, if I'd had a zero threshold shower, there would have been an inch of water all across the entire bathroom. But upgrades is what I'm talking about. Upgrades, both maxed out with upgrades. But if one house is not built on a solid foundation, it's going to have issues. And in Jesus' story, he says the rain fell and a storm beat against both houses, yet the results are completely different. One stood absolutely firm, and yet the other collapsed. And I know we've all seen marriages like this. There can be two marriages. They look exactly the same. They start off great. Both couples are cute. Both couples are happy. They're doing all the things that young couples do. They're taking, nice trips together, and they're taking selfies together, and the lighting's always perfect, and their smiles are always perfect, and they're perfect lives. But then you fast forward a little bit, and one couple is doing better than ever. Like, they may not look as good in the selfies as they used to, but they're doing better than ever, and the other one is in serious trouble. Now, why does this happen? Because, short version, because the foundation wasn't storm ready. And the foundation is the thing that makes the difference over time. Now, listen, the question today is not, are we going to go through a storm? That's not the question, because storms are going to happen. Jesus once upon a time said, in this world you will have trouble. The question is not, are you going to go through a storm in your marriage? The question is, are you building your marriage on the solid foundation that is storm proof? Now, we saw this right here happen not long ago when COVID hit. And then lockdowns were instituted across the United States. And I kid you not when I say this. You can Google me on it later just to see if I was telling the truth. But 3 weeks into the lockdowns, 3 weeks into the lockdowns, divorce rates went up 34%. 3 weeks. It was like the couples that stood at the altar together and said, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, until death do us part. 3 weeks of being stuck in the house together. They're like, I'm out, right? Been nice knowing you. Was the lockdown the problem? Well, the lockdown was a problem, but what it did was it revealed the faulty foundation that many marriages had. Just like in our homes, if our doors won't shut properly all of a sudden, the problem is not only that the doors won't shut properly, the problem, those problems are pointing to what probably is a bigger problem with our foundation. Something's not right with the foundation. I'm going to say this slow so everybody will hear me today. In marriage, a faulty foundation is usually the root cause of all kinds of issues. In marriage, a faulty foundation is usually the root cause of all kinds of issues. Fortunately, Jesus told us what a good foundation is made of. Verse 24 again. Everyone then who does what? Hears, but that's not all, right? Because you're hearing right now in church, you're going to hear from God's word today. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So the rock is, when you hear his word, but when you do his word as well. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to dig in and we're going to hear what Jesus said about the foundational truths of marriage. And just so you know, when you come back in the weeks to come as we go through these things and we get into these other subjects, we're always going to be touching back to the foundation. So you may hear some of this a little bit again in the sermons in this series, but this is because these are foundational truths of marriage. First one is this: God created marriage. God created marriage. Marriage is God's idea. Not something that somebody thought up somewhere along the line. Hey, that would be good. Let's do that. No. This is something that God did. And that right there, that is a foundational truth of marriage that you have to build your marriage on if you want it to be successful. if you're married, you've got to see your marriage as something that God has created and that God has ordained. You've got to see your spouse as someone that God created. And yes, that guy that left his underwear in the middle of the bathroom floor this morning, that guy, you got to see that guy or that gal as a gift from God, and you got to see your relationship with them as something that God has created, that he loves, and that he wants to bless. That relationship with that person in that covenant relationship, God can use that to make you more like Jesus. Even when, let me say it this way, especially when the storms come. And if you have a lesser view than that, then when a storm hits, you may be tempted to hit the door. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is quoting from the creation account in Genesis when he says this, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." So God created the world and all that is in it. He created man, Adam. And then he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman. He created Eve. And pre-clothing. I think we're going to insert that here because this is what it was. Pre-clothing. God brought Eve and presented her to Adam. And Adam said, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there. And but you can read it for yourself. It's very close to that. Which was a precursor to I do. And that was the very first wedding ceremony, the very first marriage. And God officiated that wedding. And marriage then was the very first human institution. The very first one. God put man and woman together in a covenant relationship. And that relationship, is the smallest, man and woman, smallest unit of two that can create life. God put them together for a reason, and make no mistake, it was God's idea. Marriage is God's creation. So it should come as no surprise then that the devil wants to take out your marriage. That the devil wants to dig away at the foundation of your marriage. That the devil wants to create doubt in people all around the world about marriage as well. In fact, it's not uncommon nowadays to find articles like this. It wasn't hard for me to find these. Marriage is outdated and unnecessary. These are the reasons why. Here's another one. The white supremacist origins of modern marriage advice. Here's another one. Why marriage is still a sexist institution and what we can do about it. Articles like these have become the norm. Which I believe is the devil trying to inject sand into the foundation of marriage. And if we start to believe these things and that marriage is anything less than something God created and God ordained, then our foundation is getting weaker. Hear me now. Marriage is not white supremacy. It's not an outdated Western idea. It's not sexist. It's an institution that God created himself for his glory and for our good. Amen? Verse 6 again. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, meaning he created two sexes, two genders, and only two, male and female. Why two and only two? Again, the smallest unit of two that can create life, that is the very fabric of society. And Jesus shows us that this was God's plan all along. He created them male and female on purpose. Now, some would say, you know, when a guy like me says what I just said about only two genders and so forth, and marriage being between a man and a woman, some people call that hate speech. In fact, I've had people tell me that I'm preaching hate. I've had that posted. I've had people say that about me. But here's what I figured out, and this is the truth that I know. Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Amen. Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And the other side of that coin is truth sounds like love to those who love the truth. And a foundational truth of life is this: marriage is God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. He created marriage for his glory and for the good of all mankind. And he created two genders. And here's what's true about men and women that we must remember if our marriage is going to be built on a solid foundation. And this is our second foundational truth. So God created male and female, but he also made them to be very different. They're very different. Anybody already suspect this? Anybody suspect this? Okay. Men and women are different by design. A woman cannot be a husband. A man cannot be a wife. A man cannot bear children. A woman cannot play on the offensive or defensive line of an NFL team, nor should an NBA player suit up and play on a WNBA team, although it's only a matter of time before it does happen. It'll be wrong when it does. But that's the mixed up world that we live in. But listen to me now. We don't have to be mixed up. We don't have to be confused. The world is confused. Pray for the world and pray for the people in the world that are being swept up in the confusion. But we don't have to be confused because we have this book right here. We know the truth, and the truth is the thing that sets us free. The world is confused, building on sand, but we don't have to build on sand. We can live in and know and live out the truth. I read this past week that the Methodist denomination in the United Kingdom has sent out some information to all the churches there, strongly discouraging the pastors from using the words husband and wife. Because, can you guess? Because those terms are seen as offensive, because they talk about those gender norms that they're trying to do away with. That's the world that we live in, coming soon to a church near you. But not this church, but not this church. So, the truth is, men and women are different. And that, my friends, is just an undeniable fact of life clearly seen by any person in their right mind. And it wasn't an accident that God made us different. Those differences, though, if not appreciated, can become a source of conflict and division and even separate us. Jane and I are total opposites. Jane is my wife, if you don't know. I'm Tarzan, she's Jane. But we're total opposites in many, many ways. And we love Jesus with all of our hearts. And we find common ground on everything else. But it's amazing to me sometimes when I sit back and think about it. It's like the temperature in the room. That's something that we disagree on. Anybody else have that deal in your life? Okay. And what's wild is, tell me if I'm right about this, it's too hot, and then 3 minutes later, it's too cold, okay? So we have difficulty with the temperature. We have difficulty with finding things to watch together on TV. Like, we don't know what show we're going to watch. We end up watching something lame. Because it's like between, you know, the compromise between somewhere. Movies, there's been so many times we're like, let's watch a movie. I'm so excited. We're going to watch a movie. We sit down and watch a movie. We've got streaming services. We go through everything. We look at everything. And 35 minutes later, no movie is playing. She's on her phone and I'm watching YouTube videos. Anybody feel me there? Yeah. Music, she's got a whole genre of music that she does not like. She doesn't like classic rock and roll, you know. And I do, and so when we get into the truck and go somewhere, there's no music, okay? Food, we don't hardly agree on food. She's a foodie. I could care less about food. Here's the one that has been, I've seen it lately a lot since it gets dark earlier. She likes not a lot of lights on in the house. Like, she will sit in the dark. Anybody else like the dark? Anybody else like the dark? What is wrong with you all? What is wrong with you all? Seriously, she will sit in the room with no lights on. And like, I'll come home, it'll be dark, and I'll walk in, and she'll say something to me. I'm like, whoa, didn't know you were there. What are you doing, you bat? You know? But anyway, we disagree about that, because I just want to see my food when I'm eating it, you know? We disagree on those things. But here's the deal. We get along great. We get along famously. I love that girl. She loves me. But if there was ever a day when we both woke up and said, today it's my way, there would be some conflict on that day. And so the absolute best thing that I can do for her is to put her second. And I'm serious. Best thing that you're, if you're married, the best thing you can do for your spouse is to put them second as well. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Anybody know what I'm saying? Yep. What are we going to do? We're going to put God first. So in my life, if I put God first, and which means then I'm going to try to live out what he says in his word. When I see verses like this right here, Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And the very next verse, verse 5 says, let your attitude in all of your relationships be like that of Christ Jesus. Okay? If I'm living this out right here, if I'm living this out, it changes my attitude. It changes my decision-making about my day. All of a sudden, I realize it's not all about me. Is that easy? Actually, no, it's not. Some days it's not easy because what? We want what we want, which means that Jane has helped me to grow in my relationship with Jesus simply by being different than me. Sometimes spouses in a storm will be like, it's not working, it's not working. We're just so different. Didn't realize how different we were. We're just so, really, really, you're different? You grew up in different homes, different places. Different, you know, relationships with your parents, and then you went away to school or something or met somewhere along the line and decided to get together and get married, and you've got two ways of doing things, and on top of all that, you're male and she's female, and you're telling me you're different? Really? Really? Yes, you are, by God's design. And if you're hitting a brick wall in your marriage right now, Or you're building a brick wall in your marriage right now, I got two questions for you. One is this. Is Jesus first in your life? We talked about this a little bit last week if you were here. Is Jesus first in your life? Because you're never going to be the spouse that God created you to be until Jesus is first place in your life. And if he is first and he gives you the wisdom, the strength, and the understanding to do the things that you wouldn't maybe naturally be inclined to do. Like what? Like forgive when you don't want to forgive. Like love on days when you don't even like your spouse and don't want to be around them. To be considerate of them when really, deep down inside, you want to do your own thing. Listen, to have a strong foundation on which to build a strong marriage, Jesus must be first. He's got to be first. And by the way, if you're single and you're dating and or thinking about dating, I was going to tell you something. The very first thing that you should look for, once you see them from across the room or however it works now, online or wherever, once you see them, the next thing that you need to check is Jesus first in their life? Because they can check all the boxes and be like, I have all these boxes. And there's dimples. He's got dimples. And he's got great hair. On down the list, you know. She's beautiful. She takes great selfies. I stare at them all the time on Instagram. And check all the boxes. But if that one's not checked, if Jesus isn't first in their life and you start a relationship with this person, then you're building that relationship on sand. You got to be careful, okay? Jesus first, Jesus first. Second question, are you doing what Jesus said? Are you doing what he said? That's the foundation, not just hearing, but doing what Jesus said. If you want your home to stand firm, if you want your marriage to stand firm, if you want your life to be firm, you hear the words of Jesus, you read them, but then you do them as well. I'm going to throw a curveball at you right now. You can love Jesus, and you can love your spouse, and yet things won't get any better in your marriage. You can love Jesus, you can love your spouse, yet things won't get any better in your marriage. That's because spiritual rehabilitation does not make marital rehabilitation automatic. You must do You must do what God is asking you to do. In fact, there's one that's a verse always cracks me up. It's in Luke chapter 11, though I don't remember the verse, but Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching. Some woman in the crowd is a little bit overcome by his teaching, I guess, and she yells out, "Blessed is the womb of the woman who gave birth to you and was able to nurse you." And I'm just going to imagine there was some awkward silence after that. And although the Bible doesn't say that, but then he responds, Jesus, this lady is talking about his mom, like, "Your mom is so blessed." And Jesus says this, rather, that's how he starts it, "Rather, blessed is the one who hears these words of mine and does them." So somebody talking about his mom. He's like, "Nah, she's blessed," but he's not dissing his mom. He's just telling us how important this is. James 1:22 says, "Don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And that's the danger of a married series like this. Because people will come and people will hear and they'll go, "Oh yeah, yeah, that, yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. I hear that. But if you don't do what we talk about in Scripture, then it doesn't work. You don't got it just because you heard it. You got it because you put it into practice in your life. That's what Jesus says, right? I tell you, I would encourage you to come back next week. Come for all the weeks. But next week, we're going to talk about living with your spouse according to knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And there's going to be some things that we're going to be talking about doing. That's under the heading of the sermon, Hiding on the Roof. Hiding on the Roof. So come back for that. There's going to be more things that you can put into practice. But another truth about the foundation today is this. God made marriage for life. God made marriage for life. You know, people show up to a ceremony of two people because of what it represents. So like a wedding ceremony, they're like, it represents something big. And it doesn't represent that two people love each other. You understand that? Like if you invited people to your ceremony and it's not a wedding, but you got all your friends and close family members together, and you said, "I just want you to come to this ceremony. Why don't you come send out invitations, save the date, come to this thing." And then you got up and said, "This is not a wedding. This is not a wedding. We just wanted to announce that we're in love." People would boo. I would boo if I was there. I'd be like, "Boo! I wore a suit for this. Come on." Why? Because when you're a couple, people who know you already know that you love each other. Big whoop. A wedding ceremony is where you stand before people and not just tell them that you love each other, but that you are committing to one another, making a lifelong covenant before God and before witnesses that you're going to stay together until you're dead, okay? And that, my friends, is a big deal. In fact, when Jesus was speaking in Mark chapter 10, he was actually responding to a question about divorce. That's why he said what he said in Mark chapter 10. Let's read four verses in a row here. First one we've already read, but let's read it again. "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and do what? Hold fast to his wife." The King James Version says cleave to his wife. "And the two shall become," say it, "one flesh," so they are no longer two, but one flesh. This is when God looks at a married couple, this is what he sees. He sees one, okay? And therefore, that's why God doesn't want to separate, because, next verse, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." The key here is commitment. Commitment to stay through any storm. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'd appreciate honesty right here. And the question is this: how many of you would admit today in church, by show of hands, that there have been times in your marriage when it wasn't fun, but you stayed? Now, I know some of you are like, "I can't raise my hand on that because my spouse will think that there were times when it wasn't much fun." And I'm going to tell you something. They already know. So let's admit it today. Has there been times when it wasn't fun, but you stayed anyway? Okay, that's fantastic. I'm glad to see those hands, because and for those of you who are married that didn't raise your hand, let's work on the honesty. Let's work on that. Come back next week. We'll work on that. But you're exercising the muscle of commitment, and commitment is what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. And if you're one of those kinds of people that whenever a storm hits, you start talking about leaving. I should just leave. You'd be better off if I just left, wouldn't you? We ought to get a divorce. I know you've wanted a divorce for a long time. Or when something happens, you're like, you'd be better off with somebody else. I've always known it. I think you think it too. Why don't you just go? That's zipping the lip. I want to say shut up, but I don't think that would be appropriate. Just stop talking. If that's you in your marriage relationship, stop. Just stop. Instead of that attitude, like, hey, this is difficult right now, let's just give up. Instead of that attitude, have this attitude. Yes, we're going through a storm right now, but we're going through it together. We're going through it together because God sees us as one. He wants us together, and so we're going to stay together no matter what. We're going to work through this. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to work through this. 99% of the people that I've talked to that have gotten divorced, 99%, I don't know if that's an official percentage, but it's like almost every single person I've talked to said something like this about their divorce and the person that they used to be with. They say, I still love them, but I can't live with them. Which tells me it takes more than love to make a marriage work. You gotta have commitment and you gotta do the right things. So we're committed, but not just to another person. Yes, we need to be committed to them, but we're also committed to God and what he says in his word. Matthew chapter 7 again. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, maybe right now your marriage is in a storm and it is testing the very foundations in your life. I'm going to encourage you to put your full weight on Jesus and his word and commit to staying and working through the storm. I know Jesus can save marriages. I've seen it. You've seen it, haven't you? Where you've talked to people and you're like, they are done. D-O-N-E, done. I don't see any hope for them. And yet they commit to putting Jesus first and doing the work that is necessary, and they're still together. Some of those that I know are happier now than they were before they had the trouble. And they're doing great, and they're living out the remaining days together, and that's a beautiful thing. It can happen. But it doesn't just happen because you're hearing a sermon about it happening. The promise that Jesus gives is for those who do what he says to do. I want to show you a picture. This is the Bolivar Peninsula after Hurricane Ike. And this is an iconic picture. You've probably seen it before from back in the day, but this area is just wiped clean. There was a ton of houses here on stilts, you know, right on the beach, but they're gone. But did you notice this? There's a yellow house right down here that not only is intact, but it looks like they're about to have a barbecue or something. You know, they're just like, looks like they got up and went, hey, where's the neighbors? You know, I mean, it is totally there. Little damage, but totally there. And what I'm thinking is, you know, and all these houses technically were built on sand, but I'm thinking this builder went down a little deeper with the foundation and maybe found some bedrock along the way, and this house was built with a strong foundation and survived. And if you were to come to me and say, you know, we put back some money and we're gonna build a house on the beach, you know some people, do you know a builder? You know what I would say? I would say, find the dude that built that house right there. Amen, does that make sense? Find that guy, let him build your house. And if you were to come to me today and saying you're trying to build your marriage or you're trying to reconstruct your marriage and you ask me if I knew a builder, I would say, yes, I do. His name is Jesus and he is my firm foundation. Amen? Amen. This house right here survived a terrible, terrible storm. And your marriage, if it's on the proper foundation, can survive anything that the devil throws at you. And not only that, your marriage can thrive. if Jesus is your foundation. Make him your foundation today. I want you to take out your communion cup, please. Now, if you have never been with us when we've taken communion like this before, there's a piece of bread on one side, there is juice on the other side of the cup, okay? So I want you to go ahead and take the piece of bread out and then just hold it. I'm gonna read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you, do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So Jesus wants us through communion to remember the price that he paid for us. The giving up of his life on the cross so that your sins and mine could be taken away, so that we could have new life, so that the Holy Spirit could indwell us, so that someday we could be in heaven with our Lord. So we're also told in this passage of scripture that before we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, that we should take a few moments and let God just do an examination in our heart. And so we're going to do that right now. At all of our campuses, I just want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Let's let God, through his Holy Spirit, do a work in us. If there's something that you need to confess, confess it. If there's something that you need to ask forgiveness from, ask it. If there's something that you need to repent of, repent of it. Or do you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ? Maybe you've never done that before. This is your moment to make things right with God and give him first place in your life.
If you enjoyed the podcast, we encourage you to follow, share it with friends and family, or let us know by tagging us at New Hope Church TV on social media. We would love to connect with you. Thanks for listening.